As if today's parents didn't have enough to be concerned about already, the legalization of marijuana in some states has made parenting our kids that much more complicated, particularly our teens. As our kids argue for the future use of their newly legalized drug, non-teetotaling parents are going to be harder pressed to justify their legal drug of choice that much more. So are alcohol and marijuana in the same league? That's an ethical challenge that we're all facing today as we strive to be responsible and to keep our collective licensed to parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our host is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rossell. And Trace, I know we'd both agree that no responsible parents would allow their kids to consume an addictive, mind-altering substance, be it legal or illegal, without a specific medical directive. I mean, for that matter, nose sprays are addictive and most cold remedies can be somewhat mind-altering. But that's not what we're talking about. And I want to take kids out of the conversation for just a moment and address how this affects parents. Now many Christians, but not all, do abstain from alcohol altogether. But for those who don't abstain, those who drink but don't drink to get drunk, let's say, is marijuana now in competition with alcohol for the Christian parent? What are your thoughts on that?
Yikes. Rich, I'd be here for the rest of the program trying to flesh all that out myself, but we have a guest on the phone with us today who I'm going to let take the heat on that one.
That would be our scapegoat.
Exactly. At least for the time being. But you're right. It brings up some very thorny ethical questions and some health questions as well. So hopefully we can get at least some of these things sorted out in today's program.
Well, we will certainly try. And the guest that you mentioned, our scapegoat of the day, is Dr. Carl Benzio. Carl is the founder and the executive director of Lighthouse Network. He has been on the program before, and he has a background in biomedical engineering and psychiatry and is currently a member of Focus on the Family's Physicians Resource Council. Dr. Benzio's work focuses on adolescence, addictions, decision-making, and I'm going to have to use his words here, infusing spirituality into practical treatment modalities and the ramifications of decision-making on social policy. Thank you very much. And Dr. Benzio, welcome back to Licensed to Parent. It's a pleasure to have you with us again.
Hey, it's an honor to be with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Well, Carl, until yesterday, this program was going in a total different direction, but your team said to me that you had an interest in the topic of marijuana and the implications of its legalization. So I thought that was a great idea, very timely. So here we are. First of all, before we get rolling here, since your ministry actually specializes in addictions, can you tell us a little bit about the Lighthouse Network, all that you do there?
Yes, Lighthouse Network's a nonprofit ministry. We're based out of the Philadelphia area, but we take calls from all over the country. And as you know, running a facility, there's so many people out there that are just struggling, whether it's with depression, anxiety, or as it evolves into addictions for many others. So I developed a ministry that reaches out and provides that connection for the individual. When they're struggling, well, how do I find a treatment situation that's going to work for my loved one or for myself? So we run a helpline, 844-LIFE-CHANGE, and we take calls from all over the country, and we help try to give hope, encouragement. We pray with the individual, and then our people are so experienced and have expertise about this crazy healthcare system that we then help that person navigate the system instead of just letting them call the back of their card, their insurance card, and get put on hold and go through all the stressors with their insurance company. They call us. We work through all those logistics with them, and we find them care. Our goal is to get them Christian care for their situation, so good medical, clinical, and Christian care if their resources and geography and situations allow. 844-LIFE-CHANGE is the number, and we just help so many people each month.
That is awesome. I know I get blessed by your Stepping Stones daily devotional. Can you just touch on that briefly?
Yeah, so the second service we provide is that trying to help people. There's people in acute storms, and we try to get them to places of treatment in those acute storms. There's people that are just going through life, and maybe things are calm waters, or maybe there's stormy times maybe to come. So I try to develop life growth materials, like a daily devotional. We have a one-minute radio program called Life Change with Dr. Carl. We have different curriculums that some facilities utilize to help understand, just like you said in the intro, how do we make these biblical principles practical, to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to put on the armor of God. You know, those are great sound bites on Sunday morning for many people, but a lot of people just have a struggle in trying to put them into play from Monday to Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I try to use the expertise and the education God's afforded me in the psychological field to understand the Bible a little bit more practically, practical theology, and we produce materials that help people in that process of everyday living.
That's awesome. I can't tell you how many times taking every thought captive has been a part of the equation in the healing of the kids here at Shepherd's Hill. Carl, how do we get to the point in this nation where the legalization of marijuana is now a reality in some states?
Well, in New York, just legalized medical marijuana. We have two states, Washington and Colorado, that have legalized recreational use. Crazy to me. But also medical marijuana is approved in 23 states now. And I think that you have this group of people that are for drugs, and they're connected to marijuana. They love to use marijuana, so they're going to try to find whatever vehicle allows for marijuana to be legalized, whether it's pointing at the justice system and saying, wow, look at how much money we're wasting in the courts and putting people in jail that are not dangerous. All they are smoking marijuana on the weekends, and we're wasting $80,000 a year putting them in jail. Or, because that argument didn't work very well, they've been able to find that you use some of the side effects that marijuana has, like the munchies and sort of relaxing some of the nausea-related elements of the brain. Now they say, hey, we have a medical use for marijuana, so that you can't refuse, you know, given a poor little kid who has epilepsy or cancer, you know, this chemical that will help them tolerate that situation. So the legal argument didn't work so well, so now they've looked at the medical argument. And again, I think they're just trying to push that emotional. You know, ideally, you know, my area of expertise is decision-making sciences. When people make emotional decisions, that usually doesn't work out very well.
Yeah.
We want people to weigh the evidence. Now, the evidence about medical marijuana just isn't good. We have significant data that shows there's significant both immediate and long-term damaging effects of marijuana. Trying to show its medical use is more anecdotal and not really powerful data, but it ignores the downside of marijuana in so many different ways, from addiction to just all the other physiological effects, especially on the brain.
Well, even in the extreme cases, like for cancer patients and whatnot, I know that cannabis oil is often used, or is at least sometimes used, but it doesn't have all the, quote, benefit, end quote, side effects that smoking marijuana does. So it seems to me that the medical field has even addressed some of those issues by coming up with derivatives that still would not require the medical use of, let's call it, street pot or even the recreational use of it.
No, you're exactly right. So most of the states, as they approve it for medical use, they do not approve the smoking of it for medical use, but they do approve these other different kind of formulations for the medical use of it. And, you know, for me, that's still a sketchy process. I mean, we still know that the active ingredients of it are still damaging. And so, you know, there's obviously that sort of emotional aspect of, hey, we want to help people. We want to reduce suffering. But yet, just like we see in football, in many sports, that head injuries, you know, one head injury and the person is back to normal, you know, maybe a couple hours later or maybe a couple days later, we just assume that, well, there is no long-term effects of that.
Right.
But what we've now realized is, boy, there's significant long-term effects of these, whether it's a soccer player heading a ball or the more significant impact of football on the head. But the same is with marijuana and all these drugs, alcohol included.
Mm-hmm.
But all these drugs have a cumulative effect. So a lot of people feel that after the initial intoxication, they've returned to, quote, normal. Well, that's macroscopically they've returned to normal. But microscopically, they haven't returned to normal. And some of the recent studies are significantly showing that now.
Hmm. Well, like any sin, it's just a slow seduction. It's an incremental step in the wrong direction. I'm not so sure that the legalization of marijuana is going to affect minors a ton. Maybe I'm missing something, but what do you see happening as far as parental conduct in this manner? If so many Christians can now justify homosexuality and use scripture to back up their stance, then certainly there's going to be Christian parents that might find it easy to engage in this activity and perhaps smoke it, chew it, whatever, right in front of their kids. Your thoughts on that?
Well, sure. I think, you know, once the authority in our land starts to stamp something as okay, I think that's, you know, very slippery slope. That there's some people that aren't grounded well, that are easily influenced by, you know, the different winds that blow, and they go with that wind. And so if it's, wow, it's medicinal, it helps people, it has some positive benefits, it's certainly not the bad thing that I was, you know, taught or maybe brainwashed by my parents into believing. And so whether as an adult they start using it or that starts to ripple down to the teens, and once the teen starts to use that, that's the gateway for them to use it further in their, you know, as they grow into adults. And the thing we know about marijuana is whenever a teen starts using it, then it decreases the IQ up to 10 points. Hmm. It leads to anxiety disorders. Wow. It leads to depressive disorders. It can lead to either psychotic disorders or even schizophrenia for some people that might be susceptible to those kind of things, which then increases the stress level of the individual, and then they self-medicate with what? With more pot.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Did the young people in the 1960s who wanted to break on through to the other side, to the doors of the other side, over the years, they're now our lawmakers. What connection is there in that respect?
Well, I, you know, don't quote me on this because I forget his exact comment, but I believe, you know, our president said, well, you know, I smoked marijuana in the past, and it doesn't seem to have harmed me any. But, you know, you're right. There's that permissive arena of relativism.
Yes.
And not really having, well, no, here are the truths. Here are the principles, you know, that guide what we do, that guide what's right and what's wrong. And I don't really need to know the explanations. I mean, as a kid, you know, we don't, it's not essential for our kids to understand the reasons why they should and shouldn't do certain things. Sometimes it helps them in that process if we can explain it to them. But with marijuana, we do have explanations. You know, we do have reasons and evidence. You know, there's this great study out of Harvard that recently came out in the Journal of Neuroscience, and it took 40 adults between the ages of 18 and 25, and they were college students in the Boston area, and they did special imaging on their brain, and they documented their pot use, and they were not addicted to pot. Okay, so that's a very significant element. They weren't addicted to pot. They were casual or recreational users, some smoking only a couple joints a week. But yet, after just 90 days of this recreational use, they had significant changes on their the shapes of their brain, the volume of the brain, and the density of the brain cells in these two very important areas of decision-making and problem-solving in the limbic area and the basal ganglia area of our brain, just in casual recreational use.
Wow. Our guest today is Dr. Carl Benzio, the founder and executive director of Lighthouse Network, focusing on adolescence, addictions, decision-making, and infusing spirituality into the decision-making of social policy. The program is Licensed to Parent with our host, Trey Simbri. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedaparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedaparent.org. You're listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our guest today is Dr. Carl Benzio, the founder and executive director of Lighthouse Network. And we are delving into a topic that I don't think we have ever discussed, Trace, and that is the use of marijuana, but more specifically, the newly legalized use of marijuana in a lot of places. Dr. Benzio, I personally have heard arguments both for and against the use of alcohol, and both of those arguments were based on scripture. Some saying, you know, you're never to touch it. Others saying, you know, it's okay, but only in moderation, no drunkenness. Does scripture address the issue of taking marijuana, either recreationally or medicinally, or for that matter, other drugs that might be in the same category?
You know, I'm a recovering alcoholic. And for me, you know, it's my policy, no alcohol. I think God has transformed my life, and, you know, could I be a recreational drinker? I think that's certainly possible. I mean, my sinful behavior was much worse than just being an alcoholic. You know, there were just a bunch of other things before Christ that were, you know, involved in my life. But for me, as a policy, I'm not going to drink or use any other drug. In fact, I don't even use caffeine, which is the most commonly addicting medication in the world. You know, the Bible talks about not being drunk. So some people look at, well, as long as you're not drunk, you can use alcohol just as for taste or for, you know, some recreational kind of use. That's certainly not my personal policy, but, you know, anything can really become an idol. And items that are, you know, have a propensity, especially chemically, to spur that addiction process. You know, certainly addiction is a spiritual and psychological problem, but there's also some biological elements to it as well. So anything that can, you know, continue to spur that biological process, like we see with caffeine and we see with alcohol, and we definitely see with marijuana. There is a physiological addiction that occurs with marijuana. It isn't as profound as with alcohol, but there is a drunkenness. There is an intoxication. There is an impairment in our consciousness and our level of thinking and decision-making that occurs whenever we're using a substance like marijuana. So that opportunity to have the Holy Spirit in charge of our thinking and influencing us and being under that dominion, well, that certainly is going to be compromised and taken away whenever we have marijuana on board. I think the other elements of Scripture that talks about, I think Jesus, Peter, and Paul talk about it at various times, about decision-making and about clear thinking and having a prepared mind and having a clear head and a clear heart. And certainly a substance that interferes with our ability to think, interferes with our emotions and sort of pushes the emotional buttons for us and raises those emotions to a heightened sense. It pushes those sort of sensuality buttons and makes temptation a lot more significant for us. You know, I think all those the Bible talks about, they shouldn't be part of our life. Now, each person, you know, has their own. Some people can't pass up the donut. And so the donut, you know, is really an idol.
Guilty.
Their heart. You know, for some people, it's marijuana. For some, it's alcohol. For some, it's pornography. For some, it's gambling. That's why the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because God knew that beings that are made to worship, oftentimes we don't choose to worship God. We choose to worship something else.
Yeah, people tell me, I have kids tell me when they come here to Shepherd's Hill first, you know, you're just using this God thing as a crutch. I say, yeah, he absolutely is. Actually, more like a wheelchair or a stretcher. What's your crutch? Something gets you through life. You are a slave to something or someone. It's probably yourself. And it wakes them up a little bit. But I think when we substitute God for sex, drugs, rock and roll, whatever the case may be, that God then becomes a benefit just to us as an individual. When we put God in his rightful place, then we become a benefit to everyone around us. I think that's something that's helped our kids think through some of their poor decisions in the past. But I wanted to ask you, is marijuana more harmful to the human body than alcohol?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, alcohol is caustic to almost every single system that we have. Certainly, if a person's smoking marijuana, there's significantly more respiratory effects and bronchitis and other cancers that can come from it. It has a lot more carcinogens in it when smoked as well. The brain effects are pretty similar. I think marijuana does have more impacts on the immune system than alcohol, but they're both really toxic. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that, you know, whenever they look at the studies, sometimes they'll say, well, marijuana isn't as toxic as alcohol. But I think that what happens is when people who use alcohol and use it on a more toxic basis are usually drinking much more quantities of alcohol than they're using marijuana. Uh-huh. So if a person used the same, quote, amounts of marijuana as they used alcohol, I think we would probably find at least the same toxicity, if not more toxicity, of marijuana. The one thing about marijuana is that it is significantly different than alcohol. Alcohol is excreted from your system pretty quickly, within several hours. Mm-hmm. Marijuana stays in your system for several weeks, even up to a month for some people. So just you have those lingering effects of marijuana that you don't have with alcohol. That makes it a little bit more dangerous as well.
How do you argue with the kid who is trying to convince you that marijuana is not such a bad idea, particularly as you compare it to alcohol? And they might say, well, you know, there are foods that stay in your system for that long and foods that are more harmful to your kidneys and liver and maybe even brain than marijuana. I mean, you know, whether it be Twinkies or, you know, whatever the case may be, how does a parent come back and say, that's not a valid argument?
And let me jump in right there, too. What about over-the-counter medications? There are plenty of medicines that are out there that are, quote, well-respected, end quote, that when taken improperly or for too long a period of time, they could be quite addictive as well and more harmful than marijuana.
Well, you know, I think that there's a certain time where the pros outweigh the cons, even for aspirin, you know, or ibuprofen, or even Benadryl to sleep at night. So there's certain times where just taking them nonstop isn't good for the body.
Right.
But if there's an ailment, well, the pros outweigh the cons for that short amount of time. For marijuana, again, even for the medical side of things, of medical marijuana, I don't believe that there's any time where the pros outweigh the cons. There's significant effects that are going on, just like this Harvard study just produced last month, where there's microscopic changes that are going on in the brain centers, key brain centers, that are debilitating that individual just in 90 days of recreational, meaning just a couple times a week, use of marijuana. Now, what I try to also show kids when I go and talk is I show them brain scans. Mm-hmm. So we now have, as in the study in Harvard, and over the last 10 years, we have special brain scans that we can show kids pictures and say, hey, look, here's a normal brain, and then here's somebody who was smoking marijuana for just a couple of years, maybe on the weekends, and you see the damage to their brain already just in a couple years of use.
Yeah.
So the most common call that we get to our 844 Life Change helpline is somebody who's smoking marijuana or has marijuana as part of their mix. And even if they're using harder things, marijuana was part of that, you know, that gateway sort of classification of moving on to harder things for most people. Oftentimes marijuana is that gateway drug.
Yeah.
So harmful in many, many ways, both acutely and chronically. And so we just try to show them the practical data and even pictures of the brain. Kids' eyes pop when they see those pictures. They don't realize that there's these macroscopic changes actually happening in the brain, even though they can't look at their own brain. It's actually happening.
Yeah. Well, does pot affect every person differently? I mean, with some guys, I mean, you don't need any scientific research to see that, you know, this drug has really done something to them. We used to call them burnouts. Yet with others, you'd never know they used it. And you've got, Hollywood movie stars in their 50s and 60s who admit to smoking marijuana all their life. And yet it doesn't seem to have affected them as much as a 20-year-old who I would call a burnout. How do you reconcile all that?
That's a great point and a great question. You know, we're all wired differently. You know, we all have some unique design and we have unique experiences. Now, if we took that, you know, that movie star that might be successful, and we compared them to, you know, their twin, their hypothetical twin, mm-hmm. that didn't smoke any marijuana. You know, to me, that would be an interesting, you know, opportunity.
Sure.
To see, well, how much more advanced could that individual have been if they didn't put some of these, you know, hurdles or speed bumps, you know, in the course of their life or impact their brain chemistry that adversely. I mean, God's given us. You know, certainly in my life, you know, with the alcoholism I had, and I ended up in jail with counts of aggravated assault. I mean, my life was falling apart.
Mm.
But since then, and there was a lot of years of drug use and especially alcohol use. You know, I don't know what my brain would be like now.
Uh-huh.
I think, you know, God has blessed me with a lot of opportunities and experiences and growing up in a Christian family and some things that have, you know, allowed me to overcome some of those deficits. But I know I have deficits that are there for, as far as my memory, as far as, you know, recall of words, as far as some of those kind of what we call executive functioning kind of things. If I didn't use those things, I think I would be, you know, I'd have a more potent brain than the one that, you know, I have at this point.
I can tell you this, just by the amount of sugar I have in an evening, I wake up the next morning and my brain is not functioning as good as it did when I went to bed the previous night with no sugar.
So Trace, what Dr. Benzio would be saying to you is just say no.
Yeah.
The message really hasn't changed, has it?
No, it has not.
It's just say no, but there's psychological and spiritual reasons why people don't say no. And in order to say
right.
no, we need to understand, well, what are those psychological and spiritual obstacles that are interfering with me saying no? You know, you brought up a real good point of, you know, a kid saying, well, you're just using faith or God as a crutch. You know, and some Christians, unfortunately, do use God as a crutch and don't get the potency of the spiritual assets that come with a relationship with God. And so whenever we're using that relationship and we're using those principles, not only is God a crutch, but he's much more than a crutch. He gives us some positive
yes.
benefits that infuses and empowers us to change the course of our life in a powerful way, whereas a crutch just helps prop us up and maybe stops us from going backwards. God propels us and empowers us and shows us the way to go forward.
Absolutely.
Our guest today on Licensed to Parent has been Dr. Carl Benzio, the founder and executive director of the Lighthouse Network. You will find a plethora of resources dealing with the destructive effects of addiction on his website at lighthousenetwork.org. And if you yourself are wrestling with the issues of addiction, I would encourage you to contact Dr. Benzio again through lighthousenetwork.org. Dr. Carl, thank you so much for being with us. It's always
thank
a pleasure.
You.
Hey, it's great being with you guys. Thank you so much for your ministry.
Well, in addition to visiting lighthousenetwork.org, we hope you'll take a few moments to venture over to our website as well. That's licensedtoparent.org. There you'll find archives of our past radio programs, plus videos and articles to help you become the type of parent God intended you to be. You can also download a free copy of Trace's ebook, America's Youth Culture Manifesto, and you can connect with one of our Shepherd's Hill family coaches for one-on-one parenting help. Our address, once again, is licensedtoparent.org. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to join us again next time and once again renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.